To 1 Samuel chapter 30 this morning, 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Already we have had enough preaching to, just to think, we got to chew on this preaching for a while. And it has been good, and looking forward to the close tonight. But I want to share what God's put on my heart this morning in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. There'll be a few of you in here who have heard me preach this message before. I would apologize to you, but apparently you need it again. But this is what God has put on my heart. But I want you to give me your attention just for the remaining minutes this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 30, we'll begin reading with verse number 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abithar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abithar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. We find in verse number 1 that this place called Ziklag was burned with fire. Now, when you read that Ziklag was burned with fire, to you and I, Ziklag doesn't mean much to us today. Ziklag meant a lot to David. This morning, I want to preach on what to do when your Ziklag gets burned. What to do when your Ziklag gets burned. Father, I pray that you would help us in these closing minutes of this morning service. Already, we've been challenged by your word. And Father, I pray that you'd use the message as you see fit this morning. I believe this is what you'd have given. I believe the truths that will be shared will be a help. And Father, the truth of the matter is we could all testify that life doesn't always work out the way we think it's going to work out. Dreams don't always get fulfilled. And Father, I pray that we would approach these situations scripturally so that you can continue to get the honor and the glory which you deserve. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure that many of you know this story, if not all of you are familiar with it. David is in exile. He has his band of men, his band of followers. While he's in exile for a short time, he found refuge with the Philistines. In the previous chapter, we are able to see that David had won favor with the king, with Achish. And in chapter number 27, Achish gives him Ziklag. Ziklag, while David was in exile, away from his home, away from what he knew, Ziklag was his residence. Ziklag was where he resided. Ziklag is where their families were. It was now David's home. It was where David resided. We find in chapter number 29, as David was with the Philistines and his men, some of the Philistine guard, if you will, came to the king and said, We're not comfortable having David in our midst. King, have you forgotten about Goliath? This is the person who killed Goliath. Now, we obviously celebrate David killing Goliath from the good guy's viewpoint. There was also a viewpoint from the Philistines. This was history. This was something that took place. It wasn't just Goliath that died that day. It was the armies of the Philistines that were routed by God's people. King, have you forgotten that David was the one? We don't trust him. We think he's probably here to harm us. He is setting himself amongst us so he can kill us. And I believe the scripture reflects that Achish had an affection for David. David had earned his favor to the point where Achish enjoyed having David. And I mean, wouldn't you like, if you're going to be a battling people, wouldn't you like to have somebody like David and his mighty men on your side? David, I'm going to give you Ziklag. That's where you can reside, and that's where you can live. And so David is with Achish, with all of his men. And Achish says, David, you're going to have to leave. You're going to have to go. Now, I wonder if David might have thought in his mind, well, I should have known that eventually this would run out. I mean, my own king, Saul, who I loved, who I served, who I battled with, who I ministered to. Even my own king has put me in the exile and betrayed me and sent me away, and now I can't even be home with my family, with my people, enjoying life because my own king has tried to kill me. I've been betrayed by somebody I was faithful to. And now I have a respite with Achish. I know who Achish is. I know what he is. But he has at least embraced me. He has at least been kind to me. But now, Achish says, you can't stay here any longer. You've got to leave. I imagine David, being flesh and blood like we are, I think he was probably a little discouraged. Is there no place for David? What had David done? David was just guilty of being anointed, being chosen by God. That's all he had done, was just be picked by God. That's all he had done, was just been faithful and tried to do the things that he was supposed to do. And when nobody else would step forward and fight the enemy, and if you study the passage, that passage out, David was just defending God when nobody else would. And just because of doing these things that he should have done, just by being David, the son of Jesse, now he has been forced to leave his home. He finds some men with some camaraderie, and they come and say, we don't trust you. I wonder what David must have thought. Is God's call really God's call? Is that anointing really an anointing? Is God really going to keep his vow? Or has man thwarted what God has done? But I imagine that as he left, now bear in mind the men that were with him, when David was put in exile, they didn't have to decide what their future was. They said, if our king is in exile, we're in exile. They said, if he's going, we're going. Can you imagine how much of a failure David must have felt as a leader? They followed me out into exile and we found some respite, and now they don't even trust us. They don't even want us. Now these men who are stuck with me, who've left everything for me, they follow me being rejected once again. But I imagine as David journeyed back to Ziklag with his men in tow, I imagine for just a moment he took a deep breath, relaxed his shoulders, said, well, at least I have Ziklag. We'll get back to Ziklag. The family's at Ziklag. My stability and security is at Ziklag. I don't have my home place, but I have Ziklag. I have my family, I have my friends, we have our community, we have our people there. I can get to Ziklag and then we can figure out what's next. And then I can just relax a little and bear in mind that David had lived at Ziklag, and when he would go to battle with his men and he would come back and he would be refreshed at Ziklag. He would be helped in Ziklag. He would be restored in Ziklag. Ziklag was a place of respite. It was his home. I imagine as he traveled back to Ziklag, he thought of maybe the laughter of the children. And friends, sometimes when life is overwhelming, aren't you glad you got that place, those people, to keep you grounded? Now I imagine the men must have thought the same thing as they get to Ziklag, and they're getting closer to Ziklag, and being the mighty warriors they were, the senses that they would have, knowing the terrain like they would know the terrain, and just the awareness, something's not right. Something's different. Maybe one of the men realized, why haven't the children run out to greet us? Maybe one of the men said to the other, do you smell smoke? With the awareness, and I almost picture it in my mind as all of a sudden they all seem to realize at the same moment, something's not right. Something is wrong. They're tired. They're weary. They're discouraged. They've been rejected again. All they have been trying to do is the right thing. All they're doing is fulfilling the path God sent them on. They're not out in rebellion in a far country. They're not running from the will of God. They are in exile because they're doing the will of God. They are having difficulty because they're in the will of God. And now, once again, they've been disappointed and rejected, and they're a little bit discouraged. But if we get the Ziklag, then we'll regroup. And then we'll be able to go out again. And we'll wait on the Lord to do what the Lord's going to do, but something's not right. Something's wrong. And I picture as they come running into and they rush into this home place and they see the destruction as it had been burned with fire. Their camp, their little city, their little place of refuge and respite had been burned to the ground. But as they're processing the structures that they had built and they resided in, as that was all registering, that they really weren't paying attention to that. They would run to where they last saw their wife, their children. They're gone. What could have possibly happened? See, let me just remind you that after this 3-day journey, they get to this place called Ziklag, and let me just make some casual observations. David did not know Ziklag would get burned. He did not plan for Ziklag to get burned. David had no backup plan if Ziklag was burned. See, what David learned, what you and I must learn, is that sometimes Ziklag does get burned. Sometimes there are things that take place we never saw coming. In the midst of doing the will of God and fighting battles and going on journeys and enduring hardship and facing betrayal, we say to ourselves, if I could just get home. I have these dreams that God is doing. I have my family that I can go to. If I can just get to my Ziklag, my place of security, my place of respite. But sometimes the Amalekites come to Ziklag and Ziklag gets burned. I imagine David must have said to himself, why did I ever leave Ziklag? If I'd only stayed at Ziklag, I could have prevented this from happening. Why? I've been in battle for so long. We've won so many victories, and fighting is second nature, and David didn't have an equal. I should have seen that coming. And friend, let me remind us, there's some things you can't see coming. There's some things you can't peek around the corner and tell that it's coming. And all the world around you can be crumbling, but at least I have that Ziklag, and at least I have that family, and at least I have that home, and at least I have that place of rest. But sometimes the enemy comes into the place of rest. Sometimes the enemy comes into the place of your respite, and sometimes Ziklag is burned. Let me say it like this. I didn't think they'd ever leave me. I didn't think those people ever turn on me. I didn't think that friend. I knew if everybody left me, I know they'll be with me. I didn't think they would leave me. I didn't think the church would respond that way. I didn't think death would come to my home. I didn't think those dreams would be shattered. See, David was focused on Saul and the rejection of Achish. Yet it was not Saul. Don't miss this. It was not the Philistines that burned Ziklag. It was an enemy he was not focused on. Isn't that how it is in our own life? I'm just trying to stay ahead of Saul. I'm just trying to keep my head above. I'm just trying to keep Saul from trying to catch me. I'm just trying to recover from the rejection of Achish. And now I thought I had a friend, but now I don't have a friend. And I got Saul's chasing me, trying to kill me. Isn't that the way it is in ministry? I got to deal with Saul, and now we got to deal with this rejection. And the last thing we expect is while we're fighting the enemies that are right in front of us, that somebody sneaks in, burns our place of respite down, turns it upside down, and that which once was a home of respite, of dreams, of future, of security, has been taken from us. Not while we're running from God, while we're trying to fight the enemies, while we're in the will of God. We're focused on that rejection, then we're blindsided by the Amalekites. Let me say it like this. We say it like this in our society: when it rains, it pours. We can hide from Saul. We've had 3 days to feel the sting of rejection from Achish. But aren't you thankful for Ziklag? Have you ever been weary in ministry? If you've been in ministry longer than an hour and a half, you've been weary in ministry. That hour and a half is about long enough. But aren't you thankful you have Ziklag? Oh, I had to leave those who had thought that was my crowd, but I had to leave them. When I get through that difficult journey, we can be refreshed. Men, we can be refreshed by our wives and our children at Ziklag. Don't lose heart. Let me tell you what to do when your Ziklag gets burned. This isn't going to be deep, but the Bible's pretty helpful. When they saw what happened, so what do I do, Pastor Neil, if my Ziklag gets burned? I expect the enemy. I'm running from the enemy. But what happens when trouble comes to my place of respite? What happens when that doctor's report comes that I didn't expect? I've got all these dreams for God. What happens when that place of peace becomes a place of turmoil? Well, let's look and see what David did. In verse number 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. Number 1, weep. Weep. I'm afraid we don't talk about grieving enough. I'm afraid we don't talk about tears enough when it comes to the work of the Lord. This was something, and I would dare you challenge David's manhood, because he's weeping till he can't weep anymore. This is a man who slew a bear and slew a lion with his bare hands. This is the man that killed Goliath. This is the mighty warrior. Yet we find circumstances becoming such. I don't find record of him weeping till he couldn't weep anymore by running from Saul. I don't find record of him weeping till he couldn't weep anymore by the betrayal of Achish. He could handle that burden. He could handle that rejection. But oh, now something had come to his world that he could not handle. A sword being pulled could not solve. Getting on the back of a horse and fleeing could not remedy. He had come to a place where there was nothing for him to do but just weep. And friend, when your Ziklag gets burned, make sure you take time to weep. Make sure you take time to grieve. I don't know if you've ever been there. I know I have. When you've wept until there were no more tears, your emotions were the same. Your mind was in the same place. And your body would still weep, but you had no more tears to shed. He wept till he could not weep. Number 2. Verse number 5, and David's 2 wives were taken. We see his family was taken in verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. And for the people spake of stoning him. And by the way, Pastor, you're not the first one that when trouble comes, they look at the leader. That's a natural reaction of people. I didn't say it's a right reaction. It's a natural reaction of people. We got to take this out on somebody. We've got to blame somebody. You know, I can throw a rock or I can throw a rock at somebody. It's going to make me feel better to throw it at somebody. Because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But notice this, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Let me say number 2, encourage yourself. And when I say encourage yourself, I'm not talking about reading some inspirational quote. Why did he need to encourage himself? Because the Bible tells us he was greatly distressed. He was distressed because of loss. He was distressed because of setback. Friend, listen to me this morning. I don't have to tell you this. We've all been through it, I am certain. But distress is going to come. The inability to have an answer, to have a solution. We're good at this sometimes because we study the Word of God. We love the Word of God. We've always, pastors are problem solvers. Ministry leaders are problem solvers. You get present a problem, let me give you the answer to that problem. And aren't you thankful you got a book that's full of answers? And I don't have to know the answers, but I know where they are. But there are sometimes it's like, God, I didn't expect Ziklag to get burned. I don't know what to do. He was distressed because of the loss, the setback, the unexpected results. Now notice this. David did not feel sorry for himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, no one can question, if you know the history of David's mighty men, as they're called, you can't question their loyalty, but he could not even rely on them. I thank God for real, true friends in ministry. I thank God for those. I thank God for those that aren't fleeing when the trouble comes, but they're there with you. But friend, if you haven't already been there, you're going to be there one day where there's not a man that can console you. There's not a man that can comfort you. There's not a man that can wipe the tears from your face. It is just you and your Ziklag and God. And if you're depending on a crowd to encourage you, if you're depending on your heritage to encourage you, if you're depending on the people around you to encourage you, when Ziklag gets burned, you don't have anybody else. It's your personal heartache. It's your personal distress. You've got to find a way to encourage yourself in the Lord. I imagine David, I don't know that he did this, but he could have reminded himself how God preserved him with Goliath. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know how clear he was thinking. We know by this story, eventually, David came too. He began to encourage himself. And I wonder in those low moments, and he's weeping, and his mind goes to all the places, and there's no reason for them to even think that their family's not all dead. Yeah. And I wonder as he began to encourage himself, I wonder if he felt in his mind the oil. I wonder if he sensed the presence of Samuel. I wonder if he felt it in his mind running down his face as God had anointed him king. I wonder if he thought of, well, Saul has preserved me, and at the right time he sent Jonathan to warn me, and he encouraged himself. Pastor, if you've got a friend to encourage you, thank God for that. If you're here and you're not a pastor and you have a pastor, he's there to encourage you, you ought to thank God for that. But the time's going to come, if you're not there today, where you're going to have to figure out how to encourage yourself. A good way to do it is to go back to Calvary. A good way to do it is say, he didn't leave me in my sin. He didn't forsake me in my sin. If he was big enough and he loved me enough to send his son to save me, then even though my Ziklag has gotten burned, I didn't plan this, I didn't see it coming, I certainly wouldn't have asked for it, I don't even know what to do, but at least I'm loved enough that he saved me. He didn't leave me in hell. Somehow you've got to find a way to encourage yourself. That's not all David did. I think sometimes we as Christians, David didn't just weep. Sometimes that's where Christians stay. He didn't just encourage himself, walk around, I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged. How are you doing? Oh, I'm encouraged. God's good. God's good. Now, Sometimes we're saying all of that because we're trying to remind ourselves. But that's not where he stopped. We continue reading. Verse 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. In verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord. Number 3, inquire of the Lord. What should I do? We see how David inquired of the Lord. Say, how do we inquire of the Lord? Well, God speaks to us through his word. We talk to him in prayer. Don't miss this, though. A lot of people never inquire because they do not take the time to encourage themselves. A lot of people never encourage themselves because they still haven't wept. I would dare say in this side crowd this morning, there's somebody, your Ziklag's been burned. It could have been decades ago, but you've still never wept over it. I'm stronger than that. I'm bigger than that. And I don't have to worry about that. It's okay to weep. And if you don't process that, it's going to find it hard to encourage yourself. You're not going to inquire the Lord because you haven't taken the time to encourage yourself. But friend, there does come a point when you wipe the tears away, you get back up on your feet. That doesn't automatically reverse Ziklag. The ashes are still there. The smoke's still in the nostrils. But it's time to encourage myself in the Lord. I didn't see this coming. I didn't want it to happen. I would have prevented it if I could. But here I am. God is still God. I have to encourage myself somehow. Well, I don't want to lie to myself. Well, friend, you do when you're on that diet and you go to that buffet. So you might as well convince yourself that God still has a plan. He inquired of the Lord after he encouraged himself. See, when you inquire of the Lord, you might have to forgive somebody. When you inquire of the Lord, he may give you no answer, no explanation. He might just say, rejoice in the Lord always. You inquire of the Lord, the answer may come back. Well, I just want God to explain to me why all this happened. If I inquire of him, he's going to give me an answer. The answer might just simply be trust. The answer just might simply be obey. The answer might just be faith. Then lastly, we see in verse number 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. We know the end of the story. They recovered everything. In the context of this message, he recovered his peace. He recovered his joy. He recovered his rest. Friend, I can take you to places in my life where my Ziklag was burned. This morning, I have rest. I have joy. So how did you get that? Did God just sprinkle it from heaven? But as I study my Bible, it doesn't say quit when Ziklag gets burned. It doesn't say give up when Ziklag gets burned. It doesn't say, David, I changed my mind about what I had for you when Ziklag gets burned. God says pursue. Pursue. And friend, this morning, I don't know who you are, I don't know where you are, but you can get your dream back. You still have ministry ahead of you. You still have life ahead of you. Yeah, your dreams didn't turn out the way you thought they would. Your Ziklag got burned. What should we do? Pursue. We've got too many Christians. I'm not minimizing your burden. I'm not minimizing your heartache. I'm not minimizing your grief. But if you'll permit me this morning, I am a man who stands here and can testify. I know what it's like to have your Ziklag burn. I know what it's like to have the enemy come in and take everything away. I know what it's like to sit at a table for six so there be five. I know what it's like to have to take a bite of people you love. I know what all that's like. I know what it's like to weep. But friend, at some point, we got to get up. At some point, we got to say, God, I don't understand it. I don't like it. If I could change it, but you're God. And you saved me, and I know you love me, and you're not doing this to hurt me. And I wasn't expecting this. I'm fighting Saul. I've been rejected by Achish. But what do you want me to do? Did you really call me to preach when I was a child? Did you really put me in the ministry? Do you really have a will for your children? Is there really a race that needs to be finished? And as you read the Word of God and the examples and the promises, if I can say it like this morning, this Bible from cover to cover says, pursue. You can have your joy back. You can have your relationship with Him back. You can have your ministry. You can continue. And friend, spoiler alert, David made it to the throne. He got everything back. Can you imagine, as I conclude this morning, can you imagine? Let me say, when you pursue, don't miss this truth. When you pursue, it doesn't change the fact that Ziklag got burned. Permit me to be personal. There are times when I have to go make a visit down at our children's hospital to the pediatric intensive care. When I step in that elevator and push that button, memories come flooding back. When I step out of that elevator, all the smells from 40 days, they're there. The chimes of a monitor, as you hear, the memories flood back. Ziklag still is burned. But you still got to pursue. Can you imagine the next time David came to the men after he gathered them all, they got them back and said, it's time to go again. Can you imagine the wife looking at her husband? Do you really have to go? You know what happened last time when y'all left? The enemy came. They took us. They burned everything. Can you imagine what went through the minds of those men? The things they loved the most, they wanted to protect the most. But they had to have faith that even though Ziklag got burned, God had given it back. God had given them their present course. And friend, don't let your own fears of what has already taken place keep you from pursuing and going forward. Yeah, your Ziklag got burned. And yes, something happened you didn't see coming. And if you could change it, can you imagine the nightmares the children had as they ran in and they remembered that enemy taking them away and putting them in that fear and that danger? I can just imagine the nightmares that took place. And can you imagine those great men as they held those children in their arms and the grief that they felt? That they had experienced this, but when it came time for them to go, the king needs them to serve. The king needs them to go into battle again. And friend, I'm sorry that you got burdens, and I'm sorry that you got heartaches, and I'm sorry that you got betrayed, and I'm sorry those things happened that you didn't anticipate happening. But the king still requires his men to pursue and to battle and fight and friend until the king is in his rightful place on the throne. You and I have no excuse to turn back, no excuse to quit. Oh, I'm too hurt to move forward, and I'm not over this yet to move forward. When it's time to go to battle, even though Ziklag's been burned, it's time to go to battle. We've all been hurt. We've all been disappointed. It's not an excuse to turn back. Friend, if your Ziklag's never been burned, I don't want to be a discouragement to you this morning. It will be. Well, now that you've preached this, I'm going to be on guard. Go ahead. It'll still happen. Because there's no way you can run from Saul, deal with betrayal, and not get blindsided. And by the way, it wasn't because David was a bad warrior that happened to him. Was it because he was a faulty general that happened? Let me say it like this. I dare you to say that to his face. He wasn't. He was the mighty warrior David and his men. You can be doing everything right, and your Ziklag can still get burned. Don't judge somebody when their Ziklag gets burned. Don't judge yourself when your Ziklag gets burned. Weep. Hurt. Maybe there's a preacher, a Christian, it's time you've been weeping. You've done the right thing. But now encourage yourself. Hopefully this week's encouraged you. But are you inquiring? Should I quit, God? That answer is going to be no. Is your gifts and callings without repentance? He'll give us the answer. Pursue. How long should I pursue? Until I'm with the king in his kingdom. We pursue until we're with the king in his kingdom. Father, help us to